Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In our first lesson for today, we see how God desires us as his children to live out our lives. As St. Paul writes this to the church in Colossae, we see that God very much does set down orders for us. That we all have vocations that God has given us, all have callings within the realm that God gives us to work. Some of those overlap. All of us here gathered tonight are Christians. We are all given the task to proclaim the mighty deeds that Jesus Christ has done to save us from our sins. All of us are citizens. We have all been given a life here in these United States, a land richly blessed by God, and yet still coming under condemnation when we refuse and we reject Him. And yet, there are also differences among us. God has made some of us male and some female, because that's how God works within the binary there. God has made some of us husbands, some of you wives, some of us fathers or mothers, some students and workers. God has given all of these wonderful things to us that we might live out our life in a pleasing way to Him. We often remember about the Small Catechism, the six chief parts, that Martin Luther will talk about the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, that he'll talk about the sacraments of holy baptism, confession and absolution, and the sacrament of the altar, the Lord's Supper. But sometimes we forget about the rest of the catechism, even though right now that's the part of the catechism that we're reciting as a church. We are going through the table of duties. That is a collection of Bible verses for each one in his or her vocation to live out his or her life. It begins by talking about what is required of pastors, the stiff requirements that God gives, what hearers owe their pastors, and it goes through what the government's supposed to do, what we as citizens are supposed to do, what wives are supposed to do, and husbands, children, and parents, slaves, and masters, or as it's been rephrased now, employers and employees. And in our first lesson, we see God dictating the roles that we play. He starts out, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." This very much echoes what God would have St. Paul write also to the Ephesians. "Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church and gave up his life for her." In our modern context, that word submit sounds ugly to us. But it shouldn't, because it's God's word. He is the one who creates this order. He is the one that creates the patriarchy. He is the one that creates the ability to submit. The order of creation was made right in the garden before the fall into sin. Adam is created first, and God declares that he needs a helper. And so he causes him to fall asleep, and he takes from his side a woman, a wife, a helpmeet. Already in that order of creation, there is God's order. The husband is to be the head of the wife and the family. The wife is to submit. And if we struggle when we hear those words, then we are not struggling, but we are struggling with God's word. The world should not dictate to us what God's word says. After the fall, after Eve is convinced by the snake to take the fruit and to eat it, and she gives it to her husband, and then we have the fall into sin, and we have God's judgment, God's punishment is doled out. There will now be enmity between the serpent, that is the devil, and the seed of the woman. We will wrestle against those principalities, but ultimately the head of the serpent will be crushed while the heel of the seed is bruised. That takes place on the cross. And yet God says to Eve, your desire shall be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And really, the English doesn't fully grasp it, because the understanding here is that your desire will be for your husband's role. Your desire will be for your husband's position of authority. To the man, he is told that now death will enter. He has always been given to provide and protect for his family, but now the ground is going to produce thorn and thistle. He's going to sweat at his brow every day to provide now for his family, and ultimately death enters the world. When men and women try to have a conversation, we can see that we speak often, even using the same words, but in a different way. I've actually seen it where a man and a woman are trying to argue the exact same point, but because our communication is off because of the fall, that is lost. And we are arguing even though we're trying to say the same thing. Yes, this is a result of the fall. Feminism is a result of the fall. A misunderstanding of how God's created order works is a result of the fall. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Love them more than you love yourself. Be willing to lay down your life, your desires for her. Do everything that is absolutely possible to lead her in the godly things, to show her the importance of God's word, of prayer, of teaching. The importance of hearing God's word preached, of the importance of receiving the gifts given here in the divine service. Yes, we hear the word submit, and our world has convinced us that this is wicked. But it does not mean that a woman is somehow less than a man. It is just the order that God has given. Both are saved by faith in Jesus Christ in the same way. There is an hierarchy, both in a marriage and in the rest of the home. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And yet, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Children are to submit to their parents. That does not make them less human than their father and mother, but it understands that there is an hierarchy there. And yet children are saved by the same faith in Jesus Christ that both women and men are saved in. Children are to submit to their parents in all things, except when their parents tell them to do something that is outside of God's word. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. It is a parent's role and responsibility to chastise, that is to punish, their children when their children do something outside of what they have been given to do. A parent that loves his child will not simply allow them to run out into the middle of the road. A parent will not allow his child to say, you know what, I don't like brushing my teeth, therefore, son, you go ahead and never brush your teeth again. You know what's best for you, after all. But yet we do not provoke our children. We do not chastise them and yell at them over and over and over again. We do not refuse the love that they have for us, the joy that they want to share with us, or otherwise they become broken. Bondservants, slaves, employees, obey your masters, your employers, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. We work not to be seen by men, we work according to the capabilities and the blessings that our Lord has equipped us with. We do the absolute best to our abilities that we might show Christ. The shoemaker that makes a product that will not wear out quickly is doing a service to God. In the various vocations that you live out, your vocations are just as important for carrying out the mission of Jesus Christ as my position is as your pastor standing up here preaching to you. To enter into a monastery to separate yourself from the world is not better than living out your vocation as a businessman, as one who cares for other people, as one who produces a product. Do your work for the Lord. Our gospel lesson makes it a little bit more challenging to follow those Ten Commandments, doesn't it? It's easiest for us to look at the Ten Commandments and make them a checklist. Well, Lord, I've never actually worshipped a false god. Lord, I've never asked for you to damn anyone. Lord, I have never taken the name of Jesus Christ and thrown it around in vain. Lord, I have tried to respect you. I worship you. Lord, I give honor to my parents. I've never actually killed anyone. And I've never cheated on my wife or husband. And yet Jesus makes it even a little bit harder, doesn't he? He says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Our world thrives on hedonism, of giving in to the cravings of your flesh. Our world is thriving off of making you lust for people who are not your husband or wife. Pornography is at an all-time high at simply a click or a touch of your thumb. And yet it is celebrated. God has not given those people to be for you. He has given you a husband or a wife to be in that one flesh union until he separates that union by death. The flesh craves things that God has not given it. It must submit to the Spirit. And yet Jesus Christ has died for all of us. He dies for the wife and the husband. He dies for the child and the parent. He dies for the slave and the master. He dies for those who struggle to keep the sixth commandment in deed or in thought. But not that we would continue living in sin, but rather that we would repent and turn to God Almighty who can save our souls. It is better to throw away your phone than to enter hell because you could not get rid of these cravings. It is better for you to be blind than to continually cast your eyes on what God has not given. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. A children's song that still stands true. But also when you fail, turn to Jesus. Confess your sins to him. Repent, believe, be forgiven, and be saved. The church sings. With the Lord begin your task. Jesus will direct it. For his aid and counsel ask. Jesus will perfect it. Every morn with Jesus rise. And when day is ended, in his name then close your eyes. Be to him commended. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.